Okay, thank you very much, everyone. Our next presentation will be an online one, and we're going to be joined by Mikuláš Škrabovský from Quinty, who's going to be talking to us about dynamic deployment essentials. Now, Mikuláš is an actuarial professional with over 6 years of experience gathered from leading insurance and consulting companies in the UK, Ireland, Germany, and Poland. On the life side, he's a passionate climber and coffee scientist interested in way too many things at once. Thanks very much, Mikuláš. We look forward to hear what you're going to share with us today.
Thank you very much, everyone. Hopefully, you've enjoyed your tea break, and now you can hear me and see me, which is less important. Okay. Thank you very much for the lovely presentation. And thanks, everyone, for joining me today during the lecture on the dynamic deployment essentials. I had a little slide prepared to introduce myself, but the organizers were very kind and I've already done that for myself. So if you wanted to reach out, get in touch after the presentation, you've got the tiny QR code in the bottom right corner. Just maybe to add a few words about myself apart from the introduction. I'm currently working as a pricing consultant and customer success manager at Quinty, being also the associate of the Institute and Faculty of the Actuaries. What I wanted to start off with is maybe a few words about why I feel like I'm the right person to talk about the deployments and why I feel like I can share a few words about this topic. Working for a company that wants to enable smarter insurance pricing, innovating since 2018 with global presence and working with the best experts, touching on the pricing topics on the daily basis. We've come across the problem of lack of dynamic deployment multiple different times. Today we wanted to tell you a few words about first and foremost the motivation for the dynamic pricing. So we're going to spend a few minutes on discussing the changes in the data and capabilities, what we should do with those time-consuming processes, what kind of changes in the actuarial workforce we are currently observing on the market, and then we're going to spend a few minutes discussing the future outlook, so focusing on the necessary changes in the modeling framework as a starting point, and then the pros and maybe some cons as well of the reduced dependency. Before moving forward to the Q&A section to hopefully answer a few questions that you might have after the presentation and about this topic and pricing in general. So as I start, we're going to start with the changes in data and capabilities. And predominantly what I mean by that is that, as we all know, the world is actually becoming smaller from our point of view. We feel like we're being swamped with the data from all the possible angles. And so it might be said that the world sort of became a one big data lake. We just need to understand how we can take advantage of the rapid increase in computational power, and now being able to utilize more complicated models, obviously something that we were not able to do even a couple of years ago. And then we need to discuss how to tackle the challenge of the insurance companies in general striving for marginal improvements through things like data enrichment, for example. And obviously ourselves working for the insurance industry, we know that this business tends to be pretty conservative in comparison to some other financial and non-financial industries. But regardless of that, our business also have to keep up the pace with the trends of the broader technology industry. So this is the first point about the changes in data and capabilities. And predominantly what we are challenged by is the time-consuming process and as things stand. So what you see on the screen is a fairly nice diagram depicting the current situation for the standard and even non-standard pricing process. From the very left, we would understand that we would start with some kind of data, and it doesn't really matter where it's stored. If these are flat files, if these are your SQL databases, if these are Snowflake processes, or even something more advanced and more modern. Then naturally you would feed those into some kind of in-house pricing processes, maybe you're utilizing some kind of pricing software. And then there is a challenge. You as a pricing actuary, as somebody who spent a lot of time on crafting those pricing processes, would like to push those changes to production in order to be able to capture those nuances that you've captured in your model in real-time observable financial results. However, there's a very important caveat, and this is the fact that it's not always easy to push your crafted models to production. Most of the time, since we are still pretty much dependent on the legacy systems, we need to play around with different rating tables. We need to come up with multiplicative structures to satisfy the policy admin systems, to satisfy our regulators, and to satisfy, first and foremost, our policyholders who strive to understand the reasons why they are charged this premium and not the other. On the other hand of this process, on the left-hand side, there are pricing actuaries who are still sort of stuck. They craft those models, but they have to wait for weeks or sometimes months to push them to production. And they also quite often hit the brick wall with the fact that they cannot push the complex mathematical structures directly to the distribution channels. They have to somehow come with a solution in order to satisfy those parties that I already mentioned by, for example, building a complex model and then reverting it back to a simpler structure of a rating table. And regardless which path you actually choose, it will still take weeks or months with the current setup. So what we decided to do some time ago was to actually run the survey to understand a little bit better if that indeed is a problem, or maybe it actually is not, and the pricing teams and the pricing industry in general is satisfied with the status quo and how things look at the moment. And to our lack of surprise, actually, the results just emphasize the fact that we are sort of right with anticipating that the pricing teams and insurance companies wants to shorten this path and shorten this deployment time. And there is a very good reason for that. I've already mentioned that the world keeps dynamically evolving and the need for reacting quicker is becoming more and more essential. It's not about the data per se right now, but it's about those marginal changes to your pricing models, the complex estimator or the algorithm that you would use. Maybe the data that you would use for the enrichment of the process, which also changes quite often. And so with things like behavioral pricing nowadays, when companies want to incorporate their price optimization in the process through the demand models, through conversion models, these also tend to fluctuate, tend to evolve dynamically as well. And as you can see, even though we've run this poll 2 years ago and it was run in the CEE region, actually we spoke with multiple different regions, being the MENA market, being the South African market as well, talking with multiple different companies, talking just actuary to actuary as well. And all of those people tend to say the same thing, that the current time to implement the pricing change is actually weeks or months. And ideally what they would like to have is days or sometimes even hours. As you can see, only less than 10% of the actuaries that we've actually asked for their opinion said that time to market is not critical to them. These might have been some specialty kind of insurance which are still operating on a more bespoke customer to customer basis. Or maybe some bigger players that have already got significant market share and they don't really care about changing their rates quite often because they know that their brand is just too well recognized and they are too dominant in a particular market. But overall, for all the other players, we see that there is a huge benefit in shortening the time to market. Now, I've already spent a few minutes talking about pricing actuaries and also myself as a pricing actuary, I can definitely I can definitely agree with the observations that the wider market has. And this is a few words about the demand and supply in the context of the actuarial workforce. According to some multiple different reports, it seems like the demand for actuaries is projected to actually increase significantly, so as you can see, much faster than the average profession. It looks like the data based in the US market seems to be emphasizing that aspect again really strongly. But on the other hand, it looks like the supply of the actuaries is actually decreasing. And the reason for that, I think, and my colleagues tends to agree, is the fact that us actuaries tends to be pretty curious souls, and we don't necessarily want to be limited by the fact that we run these complex models, and then we have to accept the loss of accuracy of those models and reduce the complexity to be able to represent our pricing in the form of a rating table, for example. So actuaries want to build those multiple different complicated models. And we can see more and more aspiring actuaries moving towards more of a data science industry. And just following a little bit on that, and just emphasizing the points that I've made, we see that with the growing competitor's pressure, especially on the price in the short insurance market, more data sources, the ever-evolving regulatory landscape with the AI and AI regulations coming in, and the changing market conditions. So we've just seen a huge inflation with multiple different markets. We want those actuaries to be not only satisfied with the work that they're doing and making sure that it is as advanced as possible, but also make the work interesting. So we can see that the pricing processes are becoming more and more resource heavy. So now it's not only about being able to code a macro in the VBA, but it's also about understanding the data science aspect, maybe coding a little bit, but sometimes not necessarily. And moving even to the DevOps skills. So being able to connect those different dots in the pricing process, which tends to be more and more resource heavy, as I've already mentioned. So now moving in to the changes, that's the outlook for the future that we should be observing in multiple different markets. So at the beginning, I was thinking that maybe it's going to touch upon just a couple of different markets, focus obviously in the UK, where there's huge market players on the market. But actually, it turns out after we've run some poll, I've done some more research, that it tends to be a global trend of increasing the price sophistication. So again, I've already mentioned the competitors' pressure. There's also the profitability requirements for selected business lines, the regulatory expectations, and the fact that at some point you have to accept the fact that rating tables is not going to be enough to achieve those strategic company goals. What you would be looking for is the fully integrated workflow, utilizing the latest technology. So looking at the design, looking at the deployment and portfolio management as well. And also allowing for those machine learning, allowing for those latest techniques and technology. And on top of that, we see that the insurance industry, even though it's fairly conservative, it tends to become a little bit more open to those nuances, to the fact that maybe those open source techniques are pretty decent and we don't have to close our environment as much as it was done in the past. So maybe just to run a quick diagram to depict what I've just mentioned, is the fact that historically we're looking at the expert pricing. We had the underwriters that analyzed the prices on the market. They were testing some bespoke adjustments. Then we moved towards the market-based pricing, just to compare our pricing across maybe multiple different markets, maybe across multiple different bundles of the products, looking at how we want to position our company with this regard. Then maybe adding a little bit complexity to that and adding the risk models as well. So having this technical price and then multiple different layers of the market-based analysis as well. And then those black steps are the steps that the companies, as we see, want to achieve, but the lack of the dynamic deployment tends to block them as things stand. So this is dynamic pricing through the fact that they are, that we would be able to have this continuous feedback loop in the process that I will touch upon in a couple of seconds. So we want our risk models to be more advanced. We want our deployments to be quicker. And we also want our deployment to connect the dots from both sides and also be able to accommodate the feedback loop back in the model. So what we essentially want to build is rethink the way that we think about the pricing framework and the pricing modeling framework. Similar to something that I think all of us actuaries are well familiar with, so actuarial control cycle. This is very much similar to that. We, first of all, we analyze, then we react, and then we've got this feedback back and update the process continuously or almost continuously. Now, I know I've spent a couple of minutes talking about AI as well, but looking around us, I think it's an essential topic and we definitely cannot emphasize it enough. We can see both across the South African markets, that I'm pretty close to at the moment as well, and also across the European and APAC market, that the ML models seem to be continuously replacing traditional GLMs, and actuaries and insurance industry tends to find new ways of making sure that we can accommodate those on production. And it's not only about those behavioral models, so the exploration of ML way beyond risk models, but also looking at the risk models themselves. So we can see that the GLMs tend to be not enough. Actuaries now want to look at some kind of AI-assisted functionalities, maybe to AI boost their GLMs, or maybe substitute the GLMs with some additional, some different estimators, purely AI-driven. So obviously, looking at your market as well, the South Africans are well known for being innovators when it comes to the insurance market. So you've got loads of beautiful research papers talking about, for example, local GLM net and how we could accommodate those more advanced estimators, but still within the context of the GLM. So hopefully one day we would not need to actually look for to a consensus, but we would be able to look at the most advanced type of algorithm and use those on productions. And so just to further support that point, we can see that there is a growing appetite for the explainability across the AI industry. And we do start to see those techniques being applied. In the top right corner, for example, you've got the example of the SHAP chart. So it's looking at the beautiful game theory from many, many years ago, looking at applications of the Shapley values and trying to quantify the impact of a particular feature on the model predictions. So we are starting to unwrap those layers of black box. And at some point, I do believe that the regulators would give us a green light and will say that they are happy with insurance companies using those models directly on production. Just to maybe visualize that feedback loop that I've mentioned on the diagram, this is something that is a little bit of a rethinking of this diagram that I started off with. So we still start with some kind of raw data that we push through the design of our pricing process. So there still is some kind of an aspect where we operate, where we build those pricing processes, regardless where that actually is, if that's an in-house solution, if that's a fragmented process, if that's some kind of a pricing software. But then this execution, this deployment aspect is becoming more and more essential because it seems, as I mentioned, to be connecting those two dots between the design and the management of our portfolio. And I think, and this is my belief and my colleagues as well, that this is becoming a crucial part of the whole pricing process. So it's not necessarily how you encode your pricing process now, but it's actually how you can utilize the framework, the sustainable and the robust framework that you've built, in order to gain more and more market share. Now, what I wanted to touch upon as well regarding the future outlook is how those changes affect the way that we operate on a daily basis. And so we can start off with the first thing, and this is a really important aspect, and this is pricing teams with more control over pricing processes. So when you think about it, the way we operate right now with the IT-dependent pricing processes is we have to involve IT in a process that they don't necessarily have the knowledge about, because they don't necessarily spend time on the analyzing the results, and B, you are fragmenting the process, which could be streamlined in such a way that the whole power or the most control over the pricing process is within the pricing teams. And I think this is something that we should be striving for. I don't want to position the IT guys as the burden of this process. It's definitely the opposite of that. I believe that IT teams are actually the facilitators, so allowing the pricing teams, and this is what they should be focusing on allowing pricing teams to build the most robust pricing framework in which pricing actuaries and analysts would be operating. And so this is the key point that I want to pass on to you, probably from the whole presentation, actually, is to rethink the whole framework in which we operate right now. But apart from that, apart from the fact that you've got a person who's dedicated to those particular work, you've got multiple different other benefits. And there's a huge benefit for the IT guys as well. And this is where you decide to move towards the dynamic deployment. You also have to rethink the legacy systems that you are currently operating within. And what I mean by that is there is a technology available on the market, and it's not that difficult, it's not that nuanced, but it's significantly improving the robustness of this process. It's significantly improving the speed to market, and it's also significantly improving the response times that we get from our distribution channels. And it's not that difficult to connect those two dots. It's just, it takes some very important strategic decision and going through maybe a cumbersome and time-consuming process of rebuilding this framework. But the benefits that you get are really incredible. And reducing this technological debt can also come through the fact that we would switch from rating tables to being able to push our mathematical objects directly, thanks to REST API, to either distribution channels or maybe the policy admin systems. So what we see on the market as well is that there is a growing appetite from the policy admin systems to innovate and to accept the fact that maybe we would not be utilizing the rating tables on the production, but we would be accommodating for the fact that we want to push those complex mathematical objects directly through the REST API, for example. And from the business point of view, there's a massive benefit of pushing the more complex objects to production through this dynamic deployment, rather than looking at things like reverse engineering or maybe purely operating on the rating tables. And this is the undeniable fact that there would be no or significantly lower loss of the accuracy. So right now, let's say that you're building a very complex model, you're spending weeks or months on it, and then you have to accept the fact that you have to transform your 10 different risk models into a single model that would be able to be transformed into a rating table that you would pass on to your policy admin systems or your distribution channels through your current IT system providers. Now imagine what could have happened if you were actually using more accurate, more precise models directly on production. That would mean that you would be able to capture the risks much better, quantify those risks much better, and grow not only your market share, but also significantly improve your key strategic KPIs. And on top of that, there are a couple of things that are also pretty undeniable regarding the dynamic deployment. And this is the fact that it allows for a very convenient A/B testing. So it allows for boosting the price optimization, for example. So being able to test multiple different price scenarios on multiple different cohorts now becomes more and more easy. And as I said, there's not only an ever-evolving world around us, but also an ever-evolving behavior of our customers. And being able to capture those nuances, those differences in our customer behavior, customer likelihood for purchasing different kind of a policy, or maybe renewing the policy with us, is becoming a growing essential of the whole pricing process. And also being able to have this kind of dynamic deployment allows for a more nuanced approach to pricing in general. It could mean that we would be now leaning towards the multimodal approach, as we like to call it. So looking at each and every segment and trying to tailor our pricing to a particular segment of our customers, maybe to a different distribution channel. And now not necessarily looking at the pricing, at the rating tables, but actually pushing again those complex type of estimators, complex models that your pricing actuaries have built directly to those distribution channels. And something that we think is a very cumbersome process, and it should not be that cumbersome, is the endorsements, or something that in Europe we usually refer to as midterm adjustments. So these, for some reason, are extremely difficult, because now finding the rating table that was applied years ago or months ago, it shouldn't be that difficult, right? But then with the ever-evolving complexity of the models that you've built, the fragmented process, the different vendors that you've got for different segments of the process, means that these things are really difficult. And with the dynamic deployments approach, these things become significantly easier to do, because on top of your premiums that the customers purchased and just a simple binary flag whether the policy was purchased or not, with the dynamic deployment and those REST APIs, you can connect multiple different dots of your pricing process and capture not only those premiums and those binary flags, but also all the constituents of the pricing process. So what you do essentially is you are making your pricing process more and more transparent by allowing more and more data and improving the understanding of the process as well. So I think the benefits are actually enormous. Being able to update your risk models, your behavioral models significantly quicker, and being able to reduce the time to market significantly quicker should be the main focus of pretty much all the pricing companies worldwide, I think, now. And it's becoming more and more important. I think the technology is only going to improve further. And I don't think we're stopping right now. So thank you very much for bearing with me for the last 30 or so minutes. This is everything that I wanted to cover during the short period of time that we've got today. And I'm more than happy to spend a couple of minutes to answer the questions that you guys might have.
I guess while we wait for someone in the audience to ask a question, maybe just from my side, Mikolaj, what's some of the most difficult things you've encountered in trying to implement this change practice in an organization?
Yeah, that's a very good question. And the first thing that comes to my mind is companies tend to be pretty scared about the change, because it's not only a change in the technology, but it's a change in how you approach pricing in general. So whenever you start thinking about the dynamic deployment, IT guys start to tremble and think that they're going to lose their jobs, because they would not be required to swap the versions that is operating live on production anymore. But the thing is, most of the time when we sit down and we talk about whether the dynamic deployments would be beneficial for the company or not. It seems that this is something that the company wants to do, but quite often are scared to make that decision as well. It's a very important strategic decision, the process of implementing dynamic pricing. So connecting multiple different dots, getting rid of the legacy framework that you were used to operating within for the last 5, 10, or sometimes even 20 plus years. It definitely takes some courage to actually do. But in reality, if the company wants to fight in this very fierce market, a very fierce and competitive insurance industry, I believe that there's no other way than actually accept the fact that you have to improve on your current processes. You have to make them more streamlined. You have to make them more robust. You have to get rid of the technological debt. You have to be quicker. You have to be smarter and maybe have more tricks in your sleeves than your competitors.
Does not look like we've got any other questions. Okay. Thank you so much for your time, Mikolaj. We appreciate your insights and thank you for joining us today.
Thank you very much, everyone. If you wanted to get in touch, if you found the audience to be a little bit intimidating to ask any kind of questions, but you still have those questions, please do feel free to reach out via LinkedIn. I'm more than happy to have a conversation and discuss any pricing-related and insurance industry-related topics in general. Thank you very much, everyone, and wish you a pleasant rest of the day.